Jesus said, I am the bread of life. It's not just that will sustain you right now. The bread of life, Jesus, is that which sustains you forever. And you have that peace.
Pastor Breadmatter says a life lived in Christ not only assures our eternity, but offers peace meant for living this life as well.
You might not have a perfect life, but you'll have the peace, like Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
By declaring, "He who comes to me shall never hunger," Jesus was explaining that anyone who receives him and believes upon him will find their spiritual hunger satisfied in Jesus. Pastor Breadmatter continues a verse-by-verse study of this familiar passage in the Gospel of John chapter 6, looking deeper into the first of Jesus' I am statements. More vital truths on today's Word.
Jesus, in the early part of John 6, he just gets done feeding the 5,000. 5 loaves, 2 fish, he feeds them, and the loaves expand, and the people go away, 5,000 go away stuffed full, and there's extra baskets left over. After Jesus leaves the multitudes, he goes on his way, and then the multitudes follow after him, and then they start this discussion. We'll pick it up in verse 31. It says in verse 31, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So these people are like, hey, we know the Bible, Jesus. Remember, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, bread from heaven. And then Jesus, oh, you think you know about that? Well, let me say something about that. And he goes on in verse 32. Then Jesus said to them, "Verily, verily," like this is really important, red flag. Whenever Jesus says, "Verily, verily," that's two times of saying, "Listen up, listen up. Listen carefully." So he says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," verse 32, "Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then they said unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." This is big. This is huge. And the Jews would have known it was giant and big because of the language Jesus is using. We might miss it. What would we miss? Well, you know, it's no longer the bread that is a what, but it's the bread that is a he. Did you see that? There in verse 33, "For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven," not the what. The bread from manna from the Old Testament. Jesus is telling us, listen, the bread of manna of the Old Testament is a picture of me. And then he says, guess what? I am the fulfillment of that picture. I am the bread of life. Now, just one thing that you might miss is this I am. Jesus is gonna make 7 of these statements in the Gospel of John. And these I am statements are more than just meets the eye. Well, okay, so he is the bread of life. But the two-word phrase, I am, this means something to the Jews more than it does to you and me, perhaps. In the Greek, it's ego eimi, is this I am statement. But it's a flag. To the Jews, it meant something great. Where did that come from? Well, as it turns out, it's the name of the God of the Hebrew people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember when Moses stood before the burning bush? "Who do I tell them sent me?" And there in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." But Brett, that's not a full sentence. Like the Lord just said, "I am." And Moses would be thinking, "You are what?" But see, that's the point. When you look it up, what these words mean, it starts to kind of explain that God is so all-encompassing and all-fulfilling that his name needs to be like that. Because he is, you might say, fill in the blank, everything that you need, everything you would hope him to be, he is that he is. It's a giant name of God. And as it turns out, the original Hebrew word is kind of interesting. The word is haya, like karate chop, haya. And that means to become, or to be, to come to pass, or to exist. In a way, God's saying, "I am the one who exists." And boy, there's a lot there. We've talked about God and his pre-existence, eternal component of God. But in the New Testament Greek translation, the I am is translated two words, ego eimi, I, me, my, ego. And then the second word, eimi, exist, to be, happen, to be present, which is similar to the haya of the Hebrew. You say, so what's this haya, I am? Well, as it turns out, it's the name in the Hebrew of, and it becomes these four letters, the great, as they call it, the tetragrammaton. What's a tetragrammaton? Well, as it turns out, it's the YHWH of the Hebrew language. And whenever you see the name of God that was given to Moses at the burning bush in the Bible, it's this YHWH. So holy was the name of God, they wouldn't write down all the letters. They left out the vowels and just put in sort of the consonants, if you would. So you have this YHWH. Well, how do you say that? We don't know. Oh, Brett, I know it's Jehovah. Or some of you, no, Brett, I know it's Yahweh. You don't know. Scholars have debated this for centuries, and there's a reason we don't know. Because nobody's alive that was there. And as it turns out, there's a lot of theories about how we say the name of God. And there's some denominations say, oh yes, we know. And there's even cults that say that it's Jehovah. But it could be Jehovah, it could be Yahweh. But it's such a holy name, they didn't write the full name out. But these Hebrew letters. Now, when we come to that name in the Bible, it's indicated by the capital letter L-O-R-D. That's the word for the name of God of Israel, Yahweh or Jehovah. You can say it either way. If you like Yahweh or Jehovah, you can say it that way. Then we know what you're talking about. But the I am is this great, the God of Israel. So when Jesus says this in the Greek, ego eimi, it's a flag. The Jews would recognize this as himself claiming to be deity. This is part of his claim. I am. Ego eimi in the Greek. Now, by the way, in the Old Testament, Moses would say, you are what? Well, the rest of the Old Testament spends time telling us who the I am is. There would be names attached to this name, the YHWH, Jehovah Nissi, which is the Lord our banner, which speaks of victory and mighty warrior. Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means the Lord is our righteousness. Jehovah Rapha, that is the Lord who heals. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Like we started learning who God is, Jehovah, and then fill in the blank. And it starts describing who God is. We learn who God is by the various names. In the New Testament, God becomes a man and lives among us, Jesus. And he continues to fill in those blanks, and he does it seven times. And this is the first one, the I am statements of the Gospel of John. And the first one we have here, he says, I am the bread of life. The reason I love this is the bread speaks of basic sustenance. Anybody that's got bread and water, they're gonna live. Oh, it's not a ribeye steak, or for you vegans, onion, leeks, and melons. It's not, you know, delightful food, but it is that which keeps you alive. That's kind of important. Just like the need for water, Jesus talked about that with the Samaritan woman at the well. Remember, I am the living water. If you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. But on this one, he's saying, I am the bread of life. And this is one of those great statements. Now you say, okay, Brett, got it. I am the bread of life. But did you know that Jesus in our text here said, you guys said manna is from heaven, but you said the manna that Moses got is not from heaven, Jesus said. Was the Bible wrong? Did Jesus contradict the Bible? Because Jesus said the manna that Moses gave was not from heaven. What is Jesus saying? Well, what he's saying is the manna of the Old Testament was not from heaven, but it was a picture pointing to the manna from heaven. What is the manna from heaven? That's actually the bread of life, Jesus, who was sent by the Father to be the bread of life for all humanity. Manna was a picture. Which one's better? This picture in the Old Testament of a lamb being sacrificed on the altar at the tabernacle, or Jesus being crucified for real on the cross. Which one's better? The lamb sacrifice, oh, it's wonderful. It's a beautiful picture of something that's gonna happen in the future. God's plan to save the world through the lamb that would be slain. It's a beautiful picture, but that's all it is. Jesus is the real deal. That's the thing we celebrate. Jesus is the fulfillment of the lamb being sacrificed on the altar in the Old Testament. Same thing with manna. Manna is a beautiful thing, saved the people's lives in the wilderness, and they ate it and lived, but it's a sorry exchange to exchange manna from the Old Testament. See, that's what the people are saying. We have manna like our fathers ate, and it's, you know, bread from heaven. And Jesus said, the manna that Moses gave was not from heaven, but the true bread from heaven is the one the Father sends. And then he says, I am that bread. I am the bread of life. Well, I don't know, Brett. What does manna have to do with Jesus? Well, think about it with me. Manna came in the morning. Just like the Bible says, if you seek me, those who seek me early, they shall find me, Proverbs 8:17. Manna was little white round things, which speaks of simplicity and purity and humility. Was Jesus simple, pure, and humble? Just a little white round ball, like there's not much to it. What does the Bible say? Jesus said, I am meek and lowly at heart, Matthew 11:29. Philippians 2:7, that Jesus made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Simplicity, but the white color speaks of purity. Though he was a humble man, a white little round ball, he was also pure without sin. Manna speaks of Jesus. How much did manna cost the people? Did they have to stand in the line at Safeway? Did they have to go through the drive-thru for their food? No, they'd wake up in the morning, stick their arm out the tent and grab the food and eat it. It was free. And it was life-sustaining, but it was free. Same thing with Jesus. How much does it cost to be saved and have eternal life from the bread of life? Guess what? It's free, just like manna was free. Manna needed to be taken daily. Jesus taught us to pray, didn't he? In Matthew 6:11, he said, give us this day our daily bread. In fact, the dailiness of our walk, Luke 9:23, Jesus told us that we need to take up our cross, how often? Daily, and follow me. Another, and this might be the biggest one of all. Almost every time manna is brought up in the Old Testament, what was the reaction of the people to manna? Was it Thanksgiving? Did we ever see the people going, oh, thank you for the manna, life-sustaining bread for free. Otherwise, we would have died. Do you ever see that? Never. But what's the biggest response you see of the children of Israel when they talk about manna? Murmur, murmur, murmur. That's what they did over and over again. They murmur, 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 murmur. So question, here's Jesus saying, the manna from the Old Testament, it was not that great. It was just a picture pointing to me, the bread of life. What a revelation. Question, how do you think the Jews are gonna respond to this declaration that Jesus just gave? Murmur, 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 murmur. Look at verse 41. After Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Shockingly, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which comes down from heaven. Jesus is talking about the manna, but the true life. And now they're murmuring once again. And they said in verse 42, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. You got to remember, Jesus was there when they were murmuring in the Old Testament. And now they're murmuring again. He's like, just stop murmuring. Like, I just hear Jesus going, not again, you guys. Come on, stop murmuring. Don't murmur. But they're murmuring against not just the bread and manna. See, the difference is, you know, manna was that which saved their life temporarily, but Jesus is the bread of life that will save them eternally. There's a big difference. But they're just murmuring. And Jesus says, murmur not. Manna is the bread that kept them alive temporarily. Jesus is the bread that keeps them alive eternally. And so we jump ahead. Look at verse 47. Jesus goes on. Another, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Now, this is bread that he's talking about. And if you believe, which is this, I believe is similar to eating of the bread of life. If you believe, verse 48, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. That's practical death. They died. This, verse 50, is the bread which comes down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of this world. The Jews, therefore, verse 52, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verse 53, verily, verily, I say unto you, there it is, verily, verily, listen up. I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that even he shall live by me. This is that bread which is come down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Jesus sets the tone in verse 47 when he says, I say, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Same thing he said in John chapter 3, verse 16. Whosoever believeth in me will not perish, but have everlasting life. Shouldn't he have also included, if you're to literally eat of the literal body of Jesus and drink of the literal blood, shouldn't he have also included that in John 3:16? But he didn't. This is a figurative picture. Jesus is talking about the figurative picture of manna being the bread that sustained life in the Old Testament, but Jesus said that didn't keep them alive forever. But if you eat of the bread I give you, if you eat of me, which means to believe in me. Now, by the way, there were people that didn't understand this when he said it. There were disciples that left when he started talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. They're like, yeah, we're not going there. We're not cannibals. That's ridiculous. And so they left, but they misunderstood. He wasn't talking about his literal body and blood. He was talking about that Jesus's body would be later remembered through the act of communion as a remembrance. In the same way manna pointed to Jesus from history forward, the Eucharist communion, the bread and the cup, symbolize Jesus looking back to his literal flesh and his literal blood that was shed on the cross. This is interesting. Jesus is saying, man, this is the whole thing. Manna is the picture, but I am the bread of life, life's blessings. Now, the thing that you might say, but Jesus is more beautiful than just the simple bread of life. You know what I see in this is some people were told to become a Christian. Maybe you are one of them because of how wonderful it'd make your life. You know, if you listen to some preachers like Joel Osteen or others, if you become a Christian, you're gonna find the victorious you. You know, awaking the giant within and the wonderful, wonderful, all this stuff, and your life's gonna be great. What happens if your life's not wonderful? What do you tell Paul, who was beaten up, shipwrecked, bitten by snakes, left for dead, went to prison, shipwrecked a bunch of times? What do you tell a guy like that? Sorry, your life was so rough. What happens if you have a miserable life? Here's the answer. This life wasn't necessarily promised that it would be comfortable and wonderful for everyone. The manna of the Old Testament, they got sick of it. We're tired of this loathsome bread, but it was still the very bread that was keeping them all alive. And that's the promise of eternal life. Remember the old parachute example? You know, if you're on a flight that's going down, and the flight attendant says, this plane's going down in the ocean, but you can have a parachute. The businessman is there in the first class and he's reading his stuff and he's got his laptop. I'm busy, I don't have time to put a parachute on. And the lady next to him, she's all fashionable. It's like, the parachute doesn't really go with the blue that I'm wearing. And it's kind of uncomfortable. I like clothes that are comfortable. I'm not gonna wear that. You're like, come on. The parachute is not about being comfortable. The parachute is about saving your life, so put it on. That's what we do when we become Christians. We're not promised perfect, comfortable life. The Jews, the manna is kind of a picture of that. Manna was not perfect and wonderful as far as it wasn't always tasty and wonderful, but it was that which saved. And by the way, when you complain against this life and the things that you have, could you be complaining not against your boss or your wife or your parents? Could it be that you're complaining against God himself? Remember what Moses said? What do you guys think? You're complaining against me? No, you're complaining against God. So when you come home from work, my boss is a jerk. You're actually saying, I hate this loathsome bread that God has provided for me, because God gave you that boss. Like, it's an amazing thing. We're the same as the Jews. We are murmurers, just like the Jews. But one thing you want to be really careful of is not to murmur against the very blessing that God has provided for you. Even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's not what you would have prescribed for yourself, we have to be careful on that one. All that to say, be thankful for the life-giving bread that Jesus promises. And remember, you can be thankful if you're not burning in hell. You go, wow, at least I'm not in hell. At least I'm not burning in hell for all eternity, and I have eternal life because of the bread of life. You know, I mentioned the Boy Scouts and stuff like that started way back in the old days in London, England, the Boy Scouts did. But guess what country took on Boy Scouts faster than any other country? Germany. Back in the early 1900s, Germany, there's just tens of thousands of young boys became Boy Scouts. Well, along came a dude named Adolf Hitler. And Hitler saw an opportunity of all these, you know, boys that wanted to learn and tough and learn how to, you know, start fires and sharpen knives. And so what did he do? He said, I'm taking all the Boy Scouts and I'm gonna change their name. Does anybody remember what he called them? They were famously known as the Hitler Youth or the Junior Gestapo. You can call them with either one. He changed all the Boy Scouts into the Hitler Youth. And what did he do? Well, this is where it gets really sad. The story's really sad. He brainwashed, like they used psycho psychotherapy to brainwash these children. They did tests on them and all kinds of weird stuff. And these guys were loyal to Hitler and the Nazi platform. After the war, Hitler's of course dead. Berlin's in shambles and just rubble. Germany's in real trouble. All these young boys were stuck, 50,000 of them in number by this time. Their parents were gone, and these kids were famously known as street rats, fending for themselves on the street in Germany. And they tried to help them, but they were psychologically unsound. They were totally messed up kids. Sad part of the story. Well, some people started saying, we gotta fix these poor kids. And so they started making places for these boys to come and live, but they were so psychologically messed up, they couldn't sleep, they had nightmares, they were just sleepless and just more on the fringe than ever. But you'll be shocked, but they actually found the answer. Here's what they did. Because these boys were scrapping for food for a long time and they were afraid they were gonna starve, one of the things that we were able to do to calm them down is they realized if they gave each little boy a loaf of bread, every night they'd bake these loaves of bread and they'd give each boy a little loaf of bread, put it on his chest as he went to bed at night. So he had a loaf of bread, he knew that he'd wake up the next morning with a loaf of bread and have something to eat the next day. And they found that the little boys, when they had a little loaf of bread, they'd sleep like babies. And they were able to, from there, start to help these little boys get back to, you know, sanity. And it's kind of an interesting story. I think our world has brainwashed us all. We're pretty messed up. We live in a dark, perverted, tweaked out world. And people act badly because they don't know of the bread of life that they have. So they scrap for happiness. They do what our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and all those things, you know, we are given the pursuit of happiness, but that's all we're given, the pursuit. Sadly, we miss it. Meanwhile, all the things that the world promises, hey, you'll be healthy, wealthy, wise, you'll be happy, you'll have a living and a retirement and all the stuff you hope for. But when you find all that stuff empty, what you have to do is realize the answer is the bread of life. You gotta eat of the bread of life. It's not just that will sustain you right now. The bread of life, Jesus, is that which sustains you forever. And you have that peace. You might not have a perfect life, but you'll have the peace, like Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is what we get as we eat of the bread of life. Peace of heart, peace of mind, but even more importantly, eternal life through Jesus. Even if you have a horrible life and you're messed up psychologically here in this life, good news, you can eat of the bread of life, Jesus. He's the one who satisfies. And when you get to heaven, you'll never be regretting of eating. Be careful, Christian. If you're an old Christian, don't be murmuring against the provision God has made. If you're not a Christian and you're still looking for that happiness and the fulfillment in the life, it's okay to pursue stuff, but don't miss where the sustenance of life really is. It's Jesus. Jesus said, I am the bread of life.
Pastor Breadmetter and the wonderful eternal destiny offered by way of the life-giving bread, that is Jesus, on today's Word. Well, in just a moment, Pastor Brett will return to close today's message in prayer. But first, we're glad you've joined us for this radio program with Pastor Breadmetter, who's the senior pastor of Athey Creek Church in the Portland, Oregon area. And we'd like to invite you to listen each day for more from Pastor Brett. If you've missed any portion of our study, you can find all of Pastor Brett's messages online at todayswordradio.com. You can also watch full video messages from Pastor Brett by going to todayswordradio.com. Well, with our final moments today, here again is Pastor Breadmetter with a word of prayer.
Lord, I pray that you'd give us wisdom in this. Help us not to be murmurers, Lord. We see the Jews and their behavior, and it's easy to criticize them, but we find that same sinful nature in us to grumble against the things that you have provided for us. But we find no satisfaction in things, but we do find satisfaction in you. You tell us, Lord, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these other things will be added unto you. Help us not to miss the main thing, Lord. And so I pray that we would be those who eat of the bread of life, that we daily take up that bread of Jesus, the bread of life. So, Lord, we go our way rejoicing. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pastor Breadmetter here on Today's Word. And that's all the time we have. I hope you can be back as Pastor Brett takes a further look at what Jesus did with just a few fish and some loaves. It's a famous story from the Gospel of John. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in Westland, Oregon.